There's nothing eternal in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is all from the world, and it's passing away. It has no substance. It's like trying to grab the air, or trying to grab the steam, you know, from the pot, or the water pot. You can't grab it. It's gone. But notice what it says. But he that doeth the will of God abideth how long? Forever. So we've got a decision to make as Christians. Are we going to go after something that is passing away? That's the world. Or are we going to go after something that is abiding forever? The will of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word again. And Lord, as it's been so much for me, a lot of time gone by to stand in the pulpit and preach. And Lord, I just thank you for the privilege to do it one more time tonight. And it's not about me. I understand that. It's about your word. But I thank you for the opportunity to speak even in this way tonight. And I pray that the message would go forth into each home. And more importantly, that it wouldn't just go into the home, that it would go into the heart. Find a resting place there. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak to you on this theme tonight, and that is dangerous love. Dangerous love. We might even say, as a subtitle, this is the love that God hates. It's love that God hates. We might say, that doesn't make sense, but as we just read a few moments ago, there's a direct command here from the Word of God, a challenge to us of something that we are not supposed to love. It matters not how long someone has been saved. Maybe they've been saved a couple of weeks, or I was thinking about the other day, I got saved at 9 years old, and I'm 48 now, and so I'm approaching 40 years of being saved. Next April, I think it'll be 40 years for me if I live that long. And so it doesn't matter if you've been saved for 40 years or 40 months. What doesn't change is this, and that's in your heart and in my heart, there is a competition that is going on. A competition. And this competition is for our love and for our devotion. God Almighty deserves our love and our devotion. God Almighty deserves our faithfulness. God Almighty deserves our heart. He deserves every bit of us. And I think we know that tonight. God deserves that. But there's also the world. And the world is after that same love, and the world is after that same devotion. So there's a competition going on, and I'm not saying that God is competing against the world per se, but I will say that that is something that is of competition in our hearts each and every day. Love for the Father or the love for the world. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6 and 24, if you want to just turn over there quickly or if you just want to listen, I have it written out here in my notes. It's a familiar part of the Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord Jesus Christ preaching that time, during that time on the Sermon on the Mount, says, no man can serve two masters. It's impossible, isn't it? The Bible says in that text, for either he will hate the one and love the other. And this is really the crux of the matter, as we say, that tonight it's dangerous, it's very dangerous for a child of God to love the world. It's not going to end well. In fact, the Bible says the world passeth away. Very dangerous. We have the love for the world, and we have the love for the Father. And Jesus said, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he says it this way, you cannot serve God and mammon. A lot of times we think of mammon as money or maybe financial status, and I believe that it does mean that, but I don't believe that's the only thing that it means. It To me, I'm thinking of anything of this world. Galatians chapter 1. Would you turn over there? I'd like you to see this one for sure. Galatians chapter 1. Paul writing to the church in Galatia. Chapter 1 and verse number 10. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" Notice what he says. "For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And again, same idea. You cannot serve men and serve Christ. You cannot try to please man and try to please Christ. It is impossible. You cannot love the world and love the Father at the same time. Those do not go together. They are much, as we would say, like water and oil. They don't mix. So tonight, it is a dangerous love, and I hope it'll be something that you will meditate on and think about. It's a dangerous love to love the world. I don't know who the greatest Christian is in Anchor Baptist Church. We don't need to worry about that. But even whoever the greatest Christian is can be pulled away of the things of God if they allow themselves to start being infatuated, intrigued by the things of this old world. Now, what is the world? What is it talking about? What is John talking about? Love not the world. We know what he's not talking about, okay? He's not talking about loving the globe. And I'm not talking about globes. I'm saying loving the world as in when we think that's a world globe or that's a world map. And so he's not talking about loving people in the world or, you know, loving our fellow Canadians or our fellow Americans to the south or other people in the world. That's not what the world means there. When God says, when John writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, "Love not the world," this is talking about the system of the world. Now, who is behind the system of the world? I think you probably know who it is, but it's Satan. Satan is behind the system of the world. What is the world system? Okay, it is anything and everything that is anything and everything opposed to God. The God of this book, anything that God wants us to do, the world system wants us to do the opposite. Anything that God doesn't want us to do, the world system wants us to do it. And this is what's running this world today. The world system. Now, God is allowing it to run the world, if you will, the system. I've written down here, the world system can be referred to as Satan's system. It is opposed to what God wants, and it is opposed to what God wants to take place. What does God want to take place? Well, several things God wants to take place. God wants people to be saved. Amen? God wants people to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're not saved tonight, God wants you to repent of your sin and by faith accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can do that tonight. You can do that tonight. And then you can have your second birthday can be, your spiritual birthday can be on the 19th. Is it the 19th? Yeah, I think it's the 19th of January. We have a couple of birthdays out there at Anchor Baptist tonight, don't we? We have Mrs. Tejada's birthday is tonight, and if we'd had a normal service here, we would have sang to Mrs. Tejada. But happy birthday to Mrs. Tejada. And then it's Julia Ravert's birthday tonight as well. And oh, if we could have had our service, we would have sang to you. So happy birthday to Julia. I hope I'm not missing anybody that has a birthday today. If you do, happy birthday to you too. But that's a physical birthday. We're born once, we'll die twice. Learned about that on Sunday. I hope you watched that pre-recorded message on Sunday. But Jesus said, "You must be born again." So guess what? The devil, the world system, is opposed to the gospel. He doesn't want the gospel going forward. The world system is opposed to the church. Think about it. We have it pretty easy in North America, don't we? Having church. It's not that way in every country in the world. But that's God loves the church. Jesus Christ died for the church. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. And so because of that, the world system, Satan being in charge of the world system, he doesn't like the church. By the way, he doesn't want you to like the church either. And so these are things that the world system is opposed to because Satan is opposed. Guess what? Satan, the world system, is opposed to the family. You say, well, how do you know that? Because God started the family. First one, right? Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, you know? Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I know you've heard that one so many times, but it's true. And that doesn't mean we don't love people, certain that they have a certain way of living their life. We should never hate anyone, but I'll tell you this, the world system hates God. The world system hates the plan of salvation, the gospel, the world. And I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not saying that people hate, but people do hate, unfortunately. I'm talking about the system. It's all under control. If somehow you could think about it tonight, you could see Satan with like a puppeteer and with those strings, you know? And he's moving things around. And the world system is against the gospel. The world system is against the church. The world system is against the home. And so how can we, as God's children, get to the place where we allow ourselves to love the world? Remember, you can't love the world and love God at the same time. So if I'm loving something like the world, think about what I'm saying. Pardon me, I'm saying I love the world system, which means I don't love the church. If I love the world system, it means I don't love the gospel. If I say that I love the world, and we might not say, well, I love the world, Pastor. I mean, that's just a fact. No, it's not always in our voice that we say that. It's in our actions. It's how we live our lives. And so it's very dangerous. World. It is opposed. The world. This competition. Let's go back to these thoughts. This competition that we mentioned a moment ago. This competition that is taking place on the inside will eventually show itself on the outside. It will be revealed. It never starts on the outside. It always starts on the inside. I will say this, that someone who is worldly, it began on the inside. The person didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm going to live in the world now. I'm talking about a Christian. Remember, 1 John is written to believers. John is not telling the lost, don't love the world. Why? Because the lost love the world. The Bible says that they are of their father, the devil, and the lust of their father they will do. So this isn't telling somebody who's lost, don't love the world, because it's not a matter of not loving the world as an unbeliever. It's not going to help anything. You got to come to Christ and be saved and turn to Him, yes, and turn from some things, yes, for sure. But believing that He is the Son of God and the only way to heaven and trusting Him, I mentioned that already. But remember, this is written to believers. So worldliness begins in the heart. It begins in your heart. It begins in my heart. There are three attitudes of worldliness that are listed for us in this text tonight. And these things, two of which start with the word lust, and then the third one starts with the word pride, they seek to draw us away from God. Remember, the world system hates everything about God and anyone that loves God. And it's trying to compete for our affection. It's trying to compete for our way of living, the things that we participate in, maybe our finances, other things of this nature. And so the world system is after it, and it's trying to draw us away from a walk with God. Remember, I'm talking a lot about that, our walk with God. The world system is trying to pull us away from that. Satan is trying to pull us away from that and into a life of sin. Life of sin. And we all know that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The world system is after our affection. The world system is after our attention. Now, sin is a problem for everyone. It's even a problem for believers. That's why we read earlier, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Again, that's written to believers. It's a problem. We have the old nature living inside of us. Yes, we have a new nature. And yes, we have the Holy Spirit of God. But we also have the old man is still there. And he wakes up every morning too. And the affection battle begins right out of the gate. Right out of the sheets, if you want to say it that way. Who are we going to start our morning off with? What are we going to start our morning off with? And it's just, it's a battle, and I'm not saying that to be discouraging, because Jesus Christ already won the battle. He gave us His Spirit. He said, when I go away, I'm going to send you the Comforter. The Comforter will come, and He will reprove the world of sin, and He will be your strength, and He will help you to overcome temptation. So it's not a you know, doom and gloom life as a Christian. It's an exciting Christian, but it's also not without danger. And we need to be aware of that. Sin attempts to rule every heart. Look, it's not just because I got saved doesn't mean that Satan rolls over and says, well, that's it, Turner, yeah, he got saved, forget it. No, he's still trying every day of my life. He is trying to rule my heart. And if you're saved tonight, and he's trying to rule your heart too. And the choice is up to you. The choice is up to me. Who are we going to let to rule our heart? This world that we live in is constantly looking for ways to sin more and more. I've appreciated the preaching of Pastor Raver, Pastor Nathan, over these last couple of weeks, and mightily used of God in preaching God's Word. I hope you were either here or online and heard those messages. Very timely. And God's Word is always timely, isn't it? Doesn't matter what generation we're living in. The Word of God is timely. But it's looking for more and more ways to sin, which is why we are warned against loving the world. It's dangerous to love the world. By the way, there's nothing in this world system, capital N, capital O, capital T, capital H, capital I, capital N, capital G, there's nothing in this world system that will bring you closer to God. There's nothing in this world system that will bring me closer to God. Everything in this world system is pulling me away from God. Attempting to pull me away from God. Let's take a look at these three things and we'll see how far we get into this tonight. Number one, we see the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Verse 16. What is the lust of the flesh? It is being preoccupied with fulfilling my physical desires. The word lust means desire. The lust of the flesh is craving of my sinful heart. Again, I say to us tonight as a church family that there is something in our heart still, even as believers, that will crave sin. That's why we must die to self every day. That's why we must agree with John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse number 30, that we must decrease so that He can increase. Otherwise, we can get overrun by the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is wanting what I want, regardless of what God has to say about it. It's a disregard to the teaching of the Word of God. It's a disregard to the commands of the Word of God. It's a disregard to the statutes of the Word of God. It's a disregard to the things that in the Bible, as we come to them, that says, thus saith the Lord, or that tells us to guard this or to guard that, or don't give place to the devil. And I don't have time to go into all of it, but it's just saying that's what the lust of the flesh is. It doesn't matter. We get to a place in our life where we can read it and read it and read it, but we disregard it because why? We have given in to the lust of the flesh. In other words, I'm going to do what I want to do. Doesn't matter what anybody tells me. And you know what? We can get to that place in our life and it trickles down to the other authority in our life. The lust of the flesh does not delight in yielding to any authority. Just think about the term, lust of the flesh. So it's what this flesh wants. Doesn't matter what anybody else, doesn't matter somebody's trying to help me. Doesn't matter if the pastor's trying to help me, the youth pastor's trying to help me. It doesn't matter what is trying to help me. I'm going to do it this way. That's the lust of the flesh. That's yielding to the desire that I have and disregarding the truth of the Word of God. God willing, on Sunday, we'll preach about our theme, long coming. Or we'll preach about our theme, truth, receive, believe, deliver. But the lust of the flesh says, I don't care about the truth. I'm going to do it this way. It's so dangerous. And there's people that are Christians. And God forbid any of you or me, but it could happen to any of us tonight, that we allow the desire of the flesh to overrun us to the point that basically we could read this book every day, but it's just reading, it's not meditating, it's not applying, and it just has a very bad effect on us. Pardon me. Lost my train of thought. Nothing good comes out of it. Lust of the flesh. Secondly, we see in verse 15, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. This is an all-out pursuit of things. Another word that we would give for this would be materialism. We might see something that is good. We might see something that there's nothing necessarily inherently sinful about that, whether it be a possession or whether it be a relationship, but allowing the desire to have it outside of God's boundaries. That's the lust of the eyes. In other words, it's you know, kind of dovetails in with the lust of the flesh. But, you know, let's think of some Bible people. Let's think of some Bible. I'm so glad the Bible gives us all things, even the things that are really bad that happen. Why? Because it's not saying that, wow, look what's in the Bible. I mean, people kill people in the Bible. Yeah, people have killed people all the way from the beginning of time. This is his story, right? History. All of history isn't something that we would look at and say, yeah, that was good, but it's history. Some things we learn from history, we don't want to repeat them. Some things from history, we want to repeat them because they're honoring to God. But we don't get rid of history. We don't try to wipe out history. Okay? That's just craziness. So as we look into the Word of God, you know what? We find some really bad things people did in the Bible. And people still do bad things today. Why? Because of the world system. And the fact that people yield to it. Yeah, many people are controlled by the devil completely. They don't have the Spirit of God living in them. And they are just no holds barred. And it ends up in pure, destruction. But anyway, so think about Achan. Think about Achan. You know, Achan saw some things that looked good. Were they sinful in and of themselves? No. You know, those threads were not sinful. Just that robe or that gold. It wasn't, those in and of themselves were not sinful, but they were outside the boundaries of God. God said, Jericho is mine. It's a great first fruits principle, by the way. First fruit principle. The first of our income belongs to the Lord. I'm not saying that you can find tithing in there. I'm just saying that the first of, you know, the best, the first belongs to God. And that's what he told Israel. He said, Jericho's mine. And so the garment, the Babylonish garment, I think it was, and maybe it's the gold and whatever. I can't remember what it was there. Those things in and of them. But the lust of the eyes. Achan saw those things and boy, couldn't resist. Samson, living a life of promiscuity, living a life of sin. In other words, those things were not necessarily bad in and amongst themselves, but outside of God's boundary. Pardon me, David shouldn't have been up on the rooftop. He should have been out in battle, and yet he saw, and all the mess that went from there. The lust of the eyes, an all-out pursuit. And then thirdly, we see the pride of life. What is this? The pride of life is an obsession with status and importance. It is a desire to be superior over others and letting them know about it. Oh my. I pray that God would deliver us from this kind of attitude, right? And I pray that we would never have that kind of attitude at Anchor Baptist Church. I'm not saying we do, but we never want to have it. We never want to think we're superior to someone else because of whatever it may be, our status in life. The pride of life is all over as well the Word of God. Now, we think about this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Many of you know this already. But it's on display in the Garden of Eden. Would you go with me, please, to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Remember, these are these lusts, if you will, are the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They're seeking to draw us away from God. Now, you think about the Garden of Eden. And that's pretty close to God, wouldn't you say? You know, walking with Him in the cool of the garden. Adam and Eve, right? And yet we find right away that Satan comes in there in the form of the serpent, and he uses these things with Eve. Now the serpent, if you're in chapter 3 there, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Again, it's been said, but let's repeat it. That the first thing, this, by the way, this is the first question in the Bible. And what is Satan questioning? God's Word. God's Word. Right away. I mean, right out of the chute. Boom. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 2. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said. Now I want you to notice something. I'm sure you've noticed this before. Ye shall not eat of it. Notice this next statement that Eve makes, that Eve says, God said. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Look back at chapter 2 and verse 17. I find this interesting. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not what? Eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What is missing from chapter 2, verse 17, that Eve said, God said in chapter 3 and verse 3? You see it? God never said you can't touch it. But Eve said that God said, if you touch it or eat it, you're going to die. Now you say, Pastor Turner, I mean, if you touch it, the next thing is eat it. But that's not what God said. God never said that you could, that you, if you touched it, you would surely die. He said, if you eat of it, you'll surely die. The point isn't the semantics of what you touch and eat and whatever, and what order it comes in. I guess you could, you know, reach up and bite an apple off a tree if it was an apple and not have to touch it, right? I'm not trying to make fun of it. I'm just saying the point is this, that Eve has something in her heart already. That when God said, you've got all these trees, but one of them. Remember? Just like Achan. Jericho, mine. Don't take anything. God says, you've got all these trees in the Garden of Eden, but there's one. And see, Satan knew to attack. Satan knew to go after it. And that's why the first question in the Bible, chapter 3, verse 1, Satan goes right at the heart of Eve, because he knew that Eve was susceptible, I guess, to this. Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And on it went there. But then notice chapter 3, verse 4, and a flat out lie about God's word. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What did God say would happen if you ate of the tree of the garden, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What did God say? Chapter 3, chapter 2, go back over there. Yeah, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're going to die. Satan said, God said, you won't die. Satan said, you won't die. Remember, the world system is in control of this snake right here in Genesis chapter 3. And so if God says it this way, Satan's going to twist it and say it this way. If God says it's not going to happen, Satan says it will happen. He's always contradicted from the very time in the Garden of Eden until 2022. He's trying to twist the word of God. Always. That's why we've got to walk in this book. Because if we walk in this book, guess what will happen? We will recognize error. Remember the illustration I've given time and time again about training of tellers at banks? They don't give them counterfeit money to work with. No, they give them the real stuff. And they're always handling the real stuff, because then as soon as they were to get a counterfeit one in their hand, oh, yeah, that doesn't feel right. That feels different. Now, maybe they've changed the way they do it. This is something I read years ago, a great illustration. And it goes along with so many things. But tonight, look, it's dangerous to love the world. It's dangerous. When we love the Word of God, we won't love the world. The more time that we're in the book, then we'll recognize this is the lie of Satan. Or Eve, she fell. Why did she fall? Because number one, the lust of the flesh. She took of the forbidden fruit because she saw that the tree was good for food. She thought about it. The Bible says, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was was good for food. Look, was there anything wrong with that tree necessarily in and of itself? Well, yes, the difference being God said don't take of it. But there was all kinds of trees and all kinds of fruit. But she saw the one that Satan pointed her to. She saw the one that God said don't take it. She thought about it. She thought about how satisfying it would be, or so she thought. It isn't that the case today. We start thinking about the sin. We start thinking about it. We start thinking about it. And before long, boom, done. That's that lust of the flesh. Secondly, notice the lust of the eyes. Kind of obvious on this one. She recognized that the fruit, and it was pleasant to the eyes. You see that there? And that it was pleasant to the eyes, verse 6. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Maybe she thought, I don't know, again, I'm not trying to make fun, but maybe she thought, that it was pretty, it was a pretty tree, and it was desirable. Then notice, thirdly, the pride of life. The Bible says that it was a tree desired to make one wise. Look, if I eat this fruit, I remember that snake told me that if I eat this fruit, I'm going to be God. I'm going to be like God. Maybe she was even thinking in the back of her mind, if I eat this fruit, I'll be smarter than Adam. Now, I don't know that, okay? Or maybe she thought, if I eat this fruit, Adam's going to be absolutely... Who else was there, right? There wasn't anybody else. If I eat this fruit, Adam's going to be amazed at my
wisdom. I don't know what she was thinking, but she wasn't thinking right. It was an obsession with status and with importance. Pride of life. Go back to our text. I think this is going to have to be a two-parter because I'm just about out of wind. Verse 17. Our text. 1 John 2. Just like it ended for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Death. Death came. The Bible says, and the world passeth away. Notice what else passeth away. And the lust thereof. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It seems like it's the way to go. It seems like it's the thing to do. It seems like it's so fulfilling. There's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible says that. But not only does this world system someday completely pass away, but so does the lust of it too. It's not going to be fulfilling forever. It's not going to be satisfying forever. These things are going to taste good for a while, so to speak, and then they're going to be bitter, and then they're going to be sick, and it might cause us to be sick, and I'm not talking about physical sick, I'm talking about being spiritually sick, and the end thereof, the world passes away. Living for this world is going to pass away. Living for power and importance is going to pass away. Living for self-gratification is going to pass away. Living for the allurements of this world is going to pass away. And Mr. Lot and Mr. Achan, oh, if they could only come tonight to tell us, they might both be in heaven tonight. I don't know. But if they could speak, they would say, oh, don't follow the world. It's dangerous. Dangerous to love the world. But, here it is, verse 17. But, we're going to come back to this next week, but I want to end on something positive. Amen. But he that doeth the will of God, abideth forever. You know, Charles mentioned a prayer request for family in Michigan that had a home going this week or so ago. Mrs. Graham. Mrs. Graham and her husband served there at Faithway Baptist Church in Ypsilanti, Michigan for many years. And had a great impact, both of them, but Mrs. Graham in both the life of Brother Charles and Pastor Nathan and their families. Here's someone who, not perfect, but here's someone who recognized that the world system is passing away. Here's someone who, as Brother Charles told me tonight, that invested in 30 years plus of teaching kids. 8, 9, 10-year-old kids, 20-some kids every year. Investing her life. Where are all those kids today? I don't know. We don't know where all the kids are today, but two of them are right here in this church. To God be the glory. She's in heaven now. Because why? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, she's in heaven, but her influence is still going on this earth. She's in heaven now, but her touch is still felt by those whom she influenced. And we can say that about so many other people, but you know, this world says, you know, follow the world and follow the system, and your name will be in bright lights, and you'll have this and you'll have that, and blah 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 blah. And it's all a smokescreen of the devil. Because the Bible says it passeth away. Solomon said it's vanity. He that doeth the will of God. So, you know what? Let's strive to do the will of God. Let's strive to be faithful to the Word of God. When we do that, it abides forever. Even when we're gone, our testimony can still help people here and now. I don't want to have a testimony when I'm gone that says, you know, Pastor Ben, he was living for the Lord, but he started living for the world. Let's live for the will of God. Strive to be faithful to the things.